welcome to another episode of Your Life Beyond You. I am your host, Terrence Campbell, and I am so thankful that you took the time to tune into today's podcast. Would you like, subscribe, and rate our podcast? And for good measure, go ahead and leave us a comment. That way we will know how we are doing. Do you give any thought or a whole lot of time into this whole idea of how are you making an impact? You see, our desire should be that we would leave an inheritance for our children. But even beyond an inheritance, we should desire to leave a legacy. You see, it's been said that an inheritance is something that you leave for someone, while legacy is something that you leave in someone. Well, today we have a special guest who's actually going to share with us this whole idea of that we are made to impact, a guide to living a life that outlives you. Well, without further ado, let me welcome to our podcast today, Mandy Benedix.
Thank you.
Mandy, so glad to have you here with us today. So excited about our show.
I've been looking forward to this. I've listened to all your other podcasts and the people you've had on, and I'm so honored to be in that lineup of just phenomenal people and to be in your presence and just your leadership. And so I appreciate this opportunity.
I love it. Thank you, Mandy, for those kind words. You know, it's funny because we had some time that we planned together during the freeze. So that Tuesday when everything went crazy, yeah. It was funny to get your message to say, I think it would be a good idea if we rescheduled.
We had no internet, no power, so
here we are.
On another Tuesday, and the sun is shining, and that's just life for you, right?
Absolutely. But I tell you, speaking of, so how did you all make it through all that went on during that time?
Yeah, we came out so well, you know, and I know everybody always says comparatively, but everybody's experience is their reality. So we lost power for a day and a half, maybe, and we never really lost water, but you know, other than that, it was just we didn't have internet. So it was learning how to entertain ourselves, right? Outside of those things, drives in the car, time with my 14-year-old that I don't get much these days. He wanted to, and we go for a drive and he just doesn't ask me for those moments anymore. So there were some blessings in it for sure, but we came out, we're fine. No busted pipes, no repairs, no residual effect for sure.
Well, awesome. Awesome. So glad to hear about that. Well, Mandy, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your family, where you're from, and any other fun facts that you would like to share.
Yeah, that's so hard when you've lived 44 years and I'm almost 45. So I almost said the wrong number there. But so I think that at the core, you know, if we're looking at titles, I have been married to my husband for 16 years. We just celebrated our 16th anniversary, and I have one son, and he is 14 years old. Brady is a freshman, so we're entering a new time of our relationship, as I just alluded to. We are new parents to our sweet puppy, Jax, who is a Cocker Spaniel Poodle mix. So that was September. So we got him in September. So he's part of our family now. I'm still the only female. I'm from Abilene originally. Man. Yep. And all my family still lives in Abilene, kind of West Texas area. And I think that at the core, if we're just looking at titles, I'm a teacher. I will always be a teacher, even if not in the classroom. I think we all teach all the time, whether we realize it or not. And I think overall underneath all of that, I am an imperfect person who serves a very perfect God. And I am a child of God, and I am just at 44 starting to realize what that means. Right. And starting to see myself in that role, you know, and so that's kind of a new awakening. But so, yeah, I guess in a nutshell, that's me. Titles and all.
Wonderful. Beautifully said. And I tell you what, I want to share just quickly how we met. A good friend of mine, Remy Yusuf, kept telling me, man, you got to meet this lady. I don't know why I need to introduce you to her, but I believe that there's some kind of special connection. And if you know Remy, that's the kind of guy that he is. He is a connector. He connects people. And so I ended up accepting an invitation to this awesome banquet with this wonderful organization called Young Life. And while they're at the table at this particular banquet, I'm talking to the table, people at my table, and they say, you know what? You need to meet somebody. And they take me over. They point you out to your at your table and they say, you need to meet this lady, Mandy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is not a coincidence. And so I am so thrilled to have been able to meet you and to be able to have the privilege of serving with you, with the students in the Pearland ISD with the Rise Mentoring Program. So before we get started, can you kind of tell us a little bit about the Rise Mentoring Program and why it's important to you?
Yeah, I would love to. So I have been in public education for over 20 years, you know, started off obviously as a classroom teacher. And then in the spring of 2015 was given the opportunity. I was asked to create and oversee a district-wide mentoring program. And so I, you know, took that step out of the familiar and moved into that space because I very much believe in all that that is, relationships and connecting and making sure that all kids feel seen and heard and valued. And this provided a space to do that. And so started that and, you know, connected with, was able to connect with the community. So essentially at the heart of Rise, I go out and into the community and find amazing people like you that are willing to, you know, devote 30 minutes one day a week to come onto the school campus. Not this year, we're not coming onto the campus, but we are still finding ways to stay connected and just build relationship, you know, build connection and help these kids see, you know, who they are and see opportunities through the eyes of someone who's not in their family, you know. And I think there's so much importance to that. So it is a beautiful job. It is, it's hard, you know, it's hard because when you move into relationship with people, you get to experience all the joys alongside of them, but you also experience all the hurt, you know, and that's just, it comes with it. And so it's been a wonderful, I guess we're in our finishing up our seventh year and we have, you know, over 500 kids matched with a mentor and still many more, you know, that will receive that and need that in the future. So it is, it's a huge, huge blessing that this kind of came into my life when it did. So.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Mandy. So yeah, typically I will wait until the end of a show to invite people to partner with or do some research on what you presented. But I'd like to do that now when it comes to becoming a Rise mentor. How can people get involved with that?
Yeah. So thank you for asking that. We certainly will continue to need mentors. And so we have a website. It's very simple. It's just pearlandisd.org/mentoring. You can also, you know, connect with me through Terrence. I have an email through the district as well. That's just benedictsm@pearlandisd.org. But any of those will get you to someone or to the information needed to find out more about what it means to be a Rise mentor. We are obviously finishing up this school year, but we are already trying to prepare for whatever the fall is going to look like. To continue this connection thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, who knows what it's going to look like next semester?
Who knows? But I just keep telling people and all of our mentors that, you know, our platform and our plans have changed, but our purpose has not. And I think that people that have been able to continue to thrive through all of this, you know, pandemic and just all the change and how our world looks right now, are the people who have learned to hold loosely to your plans, you know, let loose of those plans and platforms and the way we've always done it, but cling real, real tight to your purpose. Because I bet at the core that has not changed. So that's definitely been our motto throughout all of this.
So well said. Mm, absolutely. And one other way that you can get a hold of the Pearland Rise Mentoring Program is that on Growing Faith's website, on the resources page, you can find Pearland Rise Mentoring. We believe in it. In fact, research shows that children that have a caring adult in their lives that's not a parent, the impact is profound. So really today, what we're talking about and even the idea of this podcast is to live life beyond yourself. And so today we're really talking through this whole idea of being made to impact. And so we're really going to unpack that. And that's one of the ways, a very simple way for you to get out of yourself and to do something for someone else. And so really excited to talk about that. Now, Mandy, you are, I have to tell you, and I'm not just telling you this to make you feel good. Sister, let me tell you, you are one of the most dynamic women that I know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, really powerful, and just a lot of things that you've shared with me have stuck with me. Yeah. Even as you were talking about dealing with what's going on in this pandemic, one of the things that came right to mind was how you shared with the mentors a couple of months back, this whole idea of control the controllables. You know, there are just certain things that you can do something without, do something about it. And then there are just certain things that you just can't do anything about it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Plato and rock. Absolutely. Yes. So you actually are also a speaker. Tell us a little bit about your organization and the type of services that you provide through Rooted.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of the how many years now. Just a couple years ago, prior to that, I've been receiving invitations, right? Just from possibly sometimes it was a school district, sometimes it was a church, sometimes it was a Mother's Day Out group, but I was being given all these opportunities to come and speak. And it wasn't always about things that were specific to education, right? Or even mentoring. It was just life in general, you know? And so I created Rooted Together. In the beginning, it was really just created to give me a platform to be able to do that type of work separate from my work in the school district, right? Rooted Together has really just kind of formed into this place that houses, you know, whether it's my speaking engagements or my opportunity to, you know, work with a team, you know, to help build them up, or now with the book, you know, selling the book and doing some studies through, you know, of the book through that. So Rooted Together, I really see it as an organization that helps to, you know, root people to things that are going to, like it says, that are going to impact them and help them thrive in with this one life they've been given. So rooting them to other people, rooting them to resources, rooting them to new ways of thinking, new perspective. So, and ultimately rooting them to hope, right? Just making sure that we're rooting ourselves to things that matter and things that are good for us. And so it's kind of starting to form its own thing. I didn't really know, and I still don't really know all that it will be. It's just provided me another platform to spring from, right? And so that's Rooted Together. So
wonderful. And really just the type of person that you are is really inspirational and encouraging. And you mentioned your book, Made to Impact. A subtitle is A Guide to Living a Life That Outlives You. I read that book and was blown away. from the very beginning, you know, sometimes I'll be honest, I typically will skip the little introduction at the beginning.
Let me
just go ahead and advance through the introductions and stuff. But really, just from page one, such a rich experience. And really, I thought it to be, it wasn't a surprise to me, I'll say it that way, that it was so similar to this desire that God put into my heart to create this podcast devoted to people who are just absolutely committed to living life outside of themselves.
Yes.
And in this day and age, with the aspiration to get bigger houses and to buy faster cars and to make more money, not that any of that is bad, but in an effort to do all of that, oftentimes we overlook our responsibility to be people that God can use to be what I like to call pods or points of distribution.
Oh, I love that.
You know, during hurricane season, one of the things we see pop up oftentimes are these little pods around the city. And the objective of the pod is to be a point of distribution, to be a place where people who need resources, they can go and actually get those resources.
Love that.
And that's what you are, Mandy, to the body of Christ, to everyone that you meet. And so I'm excited to talk to you about this awesome book that you've written. So I'd like to know, what was the inspiration for writing the book?
Yeah, well, I was a reading and writing teacher for years. Okay, so the language and words. Yeah, and it was at the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade level. Okay, so a lot of it was just teaching how to write a complete sentence. I wasn't always an avid reader, you know, until I got out of college and was able to read things that weren't assigned to me, right? But I certainly have always just kind of, I love words and I believe in the power of our words. And so for years teaching, when I would talk to students about their goals, I would share with them, you know, that one of my goals was to someday write a book. But I had so many directions I could have gone, you know, just based on things I'd done, my life and things that had happened to me in my life. And I could never really pinpoint what to do with that. So it was big in my head, but I didn't know what to do with that. So like I said earlier, I have a son that's a freshman, and, you know, him moving into this year in high school, I just have started to feel this urgency of, I know the years I have with him here physically in my presence daily, they're minimal. And so I just have this urgent desire to make sure that he is very clear, even when I'm not around, how I feel about the things that matter most in the world. So a lot of the book was really, you know, written as a guide to Brady, right? And just words that are going to go with him. But with that, I have come in contact with so many young people, you know, and just wanting to make sure that people understand the value that they have right where they're at right now in their life. And so that whole, I was presenting to a group at a conference, and I was speaking on specifically on the power of being intentional in your life, you know, kind of chapter one, you know, which is the I and impact. And I was just speaking on being intentional. And one of the ladies came up to me afterwards and she said, "That's your book. That's what people need to know." And I said, "Oh my gosh, it's already written," you know? And so I started off with this idea of writing a book that was all about being intentional. And then the more I dove into it, the more it kind of moved itself towards intentional being one piece of it. But the overarching thing being using our life to make an impact rather than just an impression, which I think, you know, holds a lot of people in place and really robs them and robs the rest of us of what their life is intended to be. And so that was really, so it was kind of twofold, right? Something I always had in the back of my head, and then the urgency of I have a kid who's going to be leaving my house soon, and just wanting to make sure there's something that he will never be able to question how I feel about important matters, because now it's written down. So that, I think that was the whole idea behind it.
That is absolutely spectacular. I love that. And as I started reading the book, and because you laid that out in the introduction, right? Yes. So it's just like, okay, that's a really clever way of introducing a book. But as I read it, it began to become clear to me that it wasn't just a clever introduction. In fact, that's one of the things that I think is very clear in the book is just your heart and your desire that comes from God to see people experience the fullness of of what God created and intended them to be.
I would talk to so many people and I would be really sad hearing them, whether it was somebody who felt like they were past their opportunity, you know, they were too old, or if I was this, or if I had more of this, then I would, or I wish I could do what you do, or, you know, kids that are, you know, young kids saying, you know, feeling like they're not old enough, you know, to do anything with their life to be impactful. And so I think in just the culmination of all of that, just always in my head, I wanted to leave them with, No, but right now, there are things in front of you right now that you can do, you know, that will impact. And so that was, you know, that was another piece of it, and just this other passion, right, for people to live, like you said, into that fullness of who they were created to be. I just think people cheat themselves, right? We cheat ourselves out of so much. And it just cheats everybody.
Yes. And that was actually one of the quotes that really carried throughout the book for me, was this idea that when we don't live to the fullness of our potential, when we don't live a life that is impactful, we not only rob ourselves, but we rob others. And I think that is such a profound thought. Now, I want to talk just quickly about the way you structured the book, and you talk about impact. You spell out intentional, the I being intentional, M being mindset, P being proximity, and then of course ACT, act, that you can't do anything unless you actually act. So I want to hear a little bit about your thoughts on this whole idea of proximity. And before I ask you to speak on that, if I'm not mistaken, this is the segment where you talk about just this whole idea of moving out into the arena. And how you tell this story about you started watching this game, and I believe I know exactly which game it was that you're referring to. But it was just this electric time at the Toyota Center, and you're watching it on television, but your husband is in the stadium. He's in the arena. Talk a little bit about that.
This idea of the arena, I really got from Brené Brown, you know, and her writing, her one of her books called Daring Greatly. She talked about her inspiration behind that was a speech that Teddy Roosevelt gave, you know, years ago, and it's been titled the Man in the Arena speech. And I quote the portion in there that, you know, she kind of alludes to, but just this whole idea of it's not the critic who counts, you know, it's not the person who's outside of the arena and has a lot to say about what's going on in the arena, but they're not willing to move in themselves. And so that the idea behind, you know, that whole chapter on being proximate is this idea of we all have these and an arena can be an array of things. So an arena can be a relationship that you have kind of just been letting pass you by or happen, and you haven't really moved in and gotten to know that person because we've learned this in 2020, you know, I can be in physical proximity with somebody and be miles away and still not be connecting, right? So it's not the physical being in the same. I think I use the example of a garden. I can stand next to a garden all day, but it's not going to grow unless I move in and do something with it, you know? So moving in and leaning in and getting close to the work that you do, the causes that you champion, the people that you are working with, knowing their story. And that example of the arena that I shared is, just for me, it was a good visual of how different you experience things when you actually take that step of faith and move closer, you know, yes, to whatever that is for you. And so, yeah, my husband was there at that final game, and he sends me a picture or a video of the arena, and it's going crazy, right? All these people, and it was loud, yes, and it was noisy, and it was awesome. You know, it's so much fun, lots of high energy. And then Brady and I were watching the same game at a restaurant. And the, for me, the contrast was we were both experiencing the exact same thing at the exact same time, but he was experiencing it in the arena and we were experiencing it outside the arena. And who was having the more impactful experience? He was. Mm. But at the same time, it cost him a lot more, right? Because when you move into the arena, you sacrifice things, right? So if we're talking about him, it's, well, yeah, the monetary cost, the being around all the people, the mm-hmm, traffic there and back, getting home late, having to wake up and go to work the next day. Me watching the game didn't cost me any of that. But I also didn't get to experience any of the joy that came with that. And so, you know, that's a very literal way to look at it. But, you know, you take that and put that in terms of, you know, relationship. We talked about mentoring relationships or, mm-hmm, you know, relationships with friends or colleagues. And if I only do that relationship from the outskirts, Brene Brown calls them the cheap seats, right? Like up in the cheap seats and not down in the game. Then it's a lot more comfortable, yeah, because I don't have to put myself out there. I don't have to deal with any of the hurt, because you move in close to people, you will get hurt. You will, yes, be disappointed.
Ma'am.
You will,
yes,
be,
ma'am,
sad. You will be, like, all of those things come with it, but man, the joy and just the experience of doing life with people, you know, we were not meant to do life alone. You know, yes, the Lord in Genesis, one of the, all the things that the Lord is creating are good. And then he says, the one thing that's not good is for man to be alone, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that, yeah. So this whole idea of proximity, it really came to light with me as we started, our world started kind of, well, in essence, shutting down and telling people they could not be in, you know, proximity with people. So then we had to really look at and reexamine, like I said earlier, okay, well, let's really look at what it means to be proximate to people. And let's find another way to do that, right? Let's find, right, another platform with which to connect with people. And so it just took another level of intentionality, right? So yeah, so that's the P. I think that's a really important, as a teacher, you know, I wanted to know who my students were more, mm-hmm, than just a kid in my class. You know, I wanted to know their family. I wanted to know, and it was because of that work that I did that I've had relationships that have lasted way beyond, you know, the classroom. And so just really carried that out. And same with the mentors in my program. You know, I want to know who you guys are outside of, right, being a mentor. And so, but that also means I get phone calls when, you know, there's a personal struggle, you know, or something's happened with their husband or their kid or, you know, things that aren't even related to mentoring. Yeah, you know, I get that. And I'm so thankful for that, because I also get calls of, I'll never forget a mentor who sent me a picture one time. This was like, she was her second year as a mentor, I believe. Mm-hmm. She sent me a picture and said, this has nothing to do with my mentoring, but she was being baptized in the Jordan River, like this huge monumental thing. And she wanted me to, wow, to know that. She wanted me to experience that with her. And for me, that was a beautiful residual effect that I was able to receive because I had moved in close with her. You know, and I had been in the arena with her. So, right, so yeah, a long way to answer. What is proximity? You know, it's important to talk about now, right? In the times that we're living, because it's still important. So,
absolutely. I heard Jax made his introduction finally.
Yeah, sorry, I threw a bone at him, and he's run out of the room. There's nobody else here to control him, so it's all me. So I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Again, there's an example of the type of world that we're currently living in. So, Wow. Such a beautiful illustration. People who make an impact move close to people and causes that they champion. And, you know, I think sometimes when I think about that, I think about how there are no lone rangers, that we were made to fit within a body. Even talking about the body of Christ, we are made to fit together. And just the importance of pressing into that and really being present. I mean, just such a very valuable element that I found in the book to really just encourage me from the position that, hey, I want to make an impact, but if I do, then this is what it's going to cause me to do. So the other part that I really wanted to draw attention to, that I guess we'll kind of spend the remaining of our time together, is the ACT, the ACT. People who make an impact act on what they feel in their heart needs to be done. Mandy, help us understand this whole idea of acting even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's unrealistic. Even when, like, even in the midst of this pandemic, you mentioned in the book, even in the midst of this pandemic, people still are finding ways to act. So what are some creative ways you've seen people continue to act even in the midst of this pandemic?
Oh, man, so many, you know, especially like I've already said, working in education and watching phenomenal teachers who have continued to be that phenomenal, impactful teacher when they had to completely relearn, right? A whole new platform with which to teach from. They have continued to act. They have found ways to continue to connect. You know, we know all we have found. There's been so many great stories of people who've been able to use, like, you know, restaurants whenever they weren't able to serve people or you know, make the living they've always made. They started using their kitchen to make meals to get to people to eat. That's acting. That's looking at where you're at in the moment. What do I have, right? Instead of focusing on what I don't have or what I can't do, and being able to still move, right? Even, and I use the example of my best friend, Angela, who physically there are things she cannot do, right? There's a whole lot she cannot do because of her muscular dystrophy. But she is one of the most impactful people I know because, again, acting, and I just talked about this. I just finished up a 5-week book study with about 17 other people as we kind of dug into this book. And one of the girls at the end, we were talking about this chapter just on Sunday. And she said one of the things that kind of held her in place for so long was thinking that the action had to be this big thing, right? You got to start this foundation. You've got to have this event. You've got to write a book. Like, no, ACT could actually be a series of small things that you do consistently.
Right.
Because over time, those are the things that are going to have that impact that lives beyond you. Yeah, so in James 2, we are told that in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it's dead. So I use the example, I think at one point in this chapter, I say, being a teacher, I've seen all those motivational posters that say, you know, dream it, believe it, achieve it. And I used to always think, oh, man, that's kind of misleading because you can dream it and you can believe it. But I wanted to go add, work real hard.
There you go.
And you might achieve it, right? I know a lot of people that have worked really hard at things, right? And they put in the time and they put in the effort, whether it's a kid trying out for a team and they did everything and they didn't make the team, right? Or you were super qualified for a job and you didn't get the job. Like, it wasn't because you didn't, you know, dream it or believe it or work hard enough for it. It's just, you know, that's just part of life. But if you hadn't moved and taken the action, all the things you learn from putting yourself out there, right? And taking a chance and taking a risk, all of that stuff comes back to serve you later, right? Even if in the moment the answer is no. You know, I've heard before that no stands for next opportunity, right?
Right.
That everything is a learning opportunity to take us into the next thing. But it all requires us to do something. A lot of people hang their hat on the verse in the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God, which I think is important. There are times we need to stop and be still, for sure. But the Lord also tells us, what are you doing? Get up, move, go fight. You know, I don't remember where it was in there, but there's, you know, he's telling us like, go fight, right? Like get up and move.
Yes.
You know, there's so many times he starts his directives with the word be, right? Like, and be is an action word, you know? And so I think that this whole idea for me, I for years I was somebody, and I still can fall into that space of having a whole lot of great ideas, but not really doing much with them. And so then I have to look and go, man, you know, even if that would have been something I would have just shared with somebody else or passed on to somebody else, even if I couldn't see it through, maybe that was their thing.
Right.
And so I think so many things just kind of die in our mind, you know, and I think that's a tragedy. But I think there are a ton of things that keep us from acting. You kind of alluded to that question,
mm-hmm.
you know, like what keeps people from taking that step of actually doing something with those beliefs or thoughts or ideas. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things that freezes us in place that I talk a lot about in the book is fear,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's fear that, and fear comes in so many forms, you know, as we all know, and fear can be a really loud voice in our head. Fear can be, you know, a worry. Fear can be anxiety, but fear definitely robs us of so many opportunities, not because it's there, because fear will always have a voice when you're moving and choosing to do something intentional. But when we start to give it a vote, when we start to allow fear to have a vote in what it is that we choose to do, that's when we start to lose opportunity, right? And start to lose opportunity to impact. So I think it's recognizing for me, fear was huge in my life, you know,
mm-hmm.
throughout just really doubting whether I was enough, you know, or thinking that somebody else had more credentials than I did. So I'm just going to close my door and do my thing, you know, and impact these few people in front of me. But I think when I came to that understanding that truly impactful leaders, that fear's always there, because when you're doing something that matters to you, that you're passionate about, there's always a level of fear with that. I think somebody one time called me, one of our mentors posted something and they alluded to me as their fearless leader. And I remember thinking, oh man, I've misled them, right? Like I've misled them. The difference is now what I do with that fear,
mm-hmm.
right? And the role that I give it. And so, yeah, when I think about ACT, it's always connected to that for me, because I think at the core, when we talk to people, it usually comes back to that thing, right?
Right.
And Satan knows how to use fear, right? I think it's one of his greatest tools.
Yeah. So well said, Mandy. And in addition to fear being something robbing us and preventing us, keeping us from acting, something else that you mentioned that I think should be shared today is when we are on the road of life and we reach that moment where we're at a crossroads, where we're at a point where mm-hmm. we're on a road that we didn't choose. It wouldn't have been something that we would have chosen. And you share very candidly even about your brother, I believe his name was Eric,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
and how you were on a road and you realized that you
yeah.
didn't have as much time with him as you would have liked. And so you had mm-hmm. a decision that you had to make. You had to decide whether you're going to be better from this or you were going to be bitter, because then mm-hmm. you talk about how you use your time now with your other brother and to make sure that you're mm-hmm. more intentional with that. So Can you share a little with maybe the one who's listening today that they are not only are they gripped by fear, but they're also hampered by this brokenness?
Yeah. So this has actually been the talk I've been giving to groups lately. It is focused on this idea of, and when I say broken, I am defining broken as things or situations that have happened to us in our life that we would describe as not being the way it was intended to be, right? Or that's not how it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So if we think about a vase that's broken, if it's broken, well, that's not really the way it was supposed to be. You know, it's not in its original state. So that when I'm talking about broken, so man, hello, 2020, right? Like that's, there were so many things that year that was not how that was supposed to be. And I use the example of losing Eric. So, you know, that was Eric died suddenly. He was 35. It was nothing that any of us were prepared for. He didn't know his last day would be his last day. Mm-hmm. So that's what I meant by we were put on a road that we didn't do anything, you know, to deserve that. We didn't do anything that put us on that road. Now, are there times in life where we do things that kind of lead to that? Yeah, we make decisions, you know, that kind of create situations for us. And so we're put on a road, or we're on a road where things just seem to be falling apart. Mm-hmm. and are broken. But what I realize is at the end of all of those roads, no matter what that experience was, I didn't have a decision to be on that road, but I do have a decision at the crossroads, right? So, and I turn broken into an acronym, just as an example of some of the choices we have, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. When we're in that space of whether it's grief or anger, you know, or whatever it is, we're in a space where things just aren't as we think they're intended to be. And so, yeah, like you said, with Eric, you know, just using that first, the letter B, you know, am I going to allow this? Am I going to come out of this better or bitter? And I have to be very clear that when I say better, I don't mean, yes, because Eric died, I'm better. Life is better. No, if I could go back and erase it all, I would take it all back, right? I would make sure that he was here.
Yes.
And that wouldn't be it. That's not what I meant by that. What I meant by that is I'm going to make sure that I'm going to use this to continue to make the life around me, the life I've been given, better for myself and for others. So that I use that example of my older brother, mm-hmm, right? That I can be bitter that I don't still have opportunity with Eric to grow our relationship,
right?
Or I can realize that I do still have that opportunity with Jeff, and I can put forth effort there. And in that, mm-hmm, that's going to lead to better, right? And the thing too about a crossroads is there are oftentimes, have I made wrong decisions at a crossroads? Yes.
Yeah.
Have I chosen bitter? Yeah. But the good news about a decision is that there's always another decision you can make out of that. I don't think any decision is a dead end, right? I think there's always an opportunity to turn left or right out of a decision,
right?
You know? And so we are only at a dead end when in our mind, you know, that's the whole chapter on mindset. When in our mind, you know, we start to believe that lie, you know, that there's nothing else we can do. And that's where we start moving towards hopeless. And that's, mm-hmm, a really dangerous place to be.
Right.
And that's where we need people around us, you know, that are rooting for our rise, people around us that are in our corner, that in that time when we can't see the crossroad, when we can't see that we still have choice, those people around us can remind us of that.
Right.
That, that there is still an opportunity to move one way or the other. So yeah, this whole idea of life not being the way it was intended. Okay. I can't control that. So what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I going to do to control? I heard somebody speak the other day, and if I tried to say his name, I would get it wrong. But he leads an organization, I think, called Growing Leadership, maybe,
mm-hmm,
or Growing Leaders. And his first name's Tim. But he was talking about how in life, you know, really everything fits into one of three buckets. You have things that you can control,
mm-hmm,
things that you can't control, and then things that you can influence. Mm. And he said, where we get into trouble as humans a lot is we put things and situations into the wrong bucket.
Mm.
You know, so we spin our wheels trying to control things that we can't, you know, and that's just a waste of time. You know, or we've put it in the bucket of things that, you know, that we can only influence, you know, or that. And so I thought that was a really clever way to look at it, too. If I'm really stuck in an area, maybe I just need to look at which bucket I've put it in. Maybe I just need to move it over and realize maybe I can't control my 14-year-old right now. You know, I can't control his decisions, but I can influence them.
Right.
Right. And I'm going to spend my time and I'm going to spend my wills doing something I can control.
Well, so well said. Yes. So well said and really encouraging when I think about all of that. I'm sure that as the listeners have listened to all that you do and how profound your book is, that they've gotten to the point by now that they're saying, okay, fine, I got to get a copy of that book. So how can people do that, Mandy? How can people get a copy of this profound book that that have really been a beautiful companion for me over the last few months. Just something that I've used to keep myself encouraged and built up. So how can people get a copy?
Yeah, it's still so weird to even hear, you know, people be like, how can I get a copy of your book? Right. The fact that that's even a reality, you know, so I do have a website, you know, and it is, there's a space on there that they can purchase the book. And the website is just my first and last name. So it's Mandy-Benedicts.com. Or you can also purchase them. I self-published the book through Lulu.com, and that's just Lulu.com. And you can go to their site and search Made to Impact, and it will pull up. So I checked it out today because I've never ordered from their site, but you can order directly from their site and they'll ship it to you. So I also have a Facebook page that's pretty active for Rooted Together, and it's literally just Rooted Together LLC. And I can also share on that Facebook page. You can see, you know, a form that you can use to order the book. So I'm still not, you know, Amazon and Barnes and Noble, but, you know, maybe someday. So right now, just find me and I'll hook you up with how to get it. So, yeah, those are the two main ways, my website and straight from the Lulu site. So.
Very cool. Yeah. Mandy, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. Obviously, you were trying to multitask with Jax, trying to keep him happy. I think you did a fantastic job of that.
He did much better than normal. I apologize for that.
Yes. No, it's you did great. And so thank you so much for just doing and being true to what you said in so many ways in your book of just being willing to act. There's one part at the end where you talk about how you're praying for that person that's on the other side of these words reading and not being sure of who it is. But and that's the way making an impact is. I like to say that we don't choose who we influence, only how. And you have truly influenced me. You've made it. Not only have you made an impression on me, but you have truly made an impact on my life. And I believe you've done the same for our listeners today. So thank you so much, Mandy.
Thank you, Terrence, for the opportunity. Thank you for the platform. And, you know, I just encourage people to be reminded that life is all the things. Life is messy, and then life can be marvelous, and then it can be messy again, and then it's miraculous, and then it's mundane. It that's just life, you know, and we were blessed. The Lord chose to bless you with the life that you've been given. And I just really urge people to figure out who they are through the eyes of the Lord, you know, and root themselves to things that matter, and understand that you are making an impact every day, whether you choose to or not. It's just a matter of what impact are you leaving behind? You know, and every time you leave a space, you leave an impact. You don't have to be dead to leave an impact. We leave an impact everywhere that we leave. So thank you, Terrence, for all that you do for so many people and providing us this opportunity to have conversations that matter.
Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing podcast. I hope that you enjoyed that just as much as I did. I'm all fired up, ready to continue making an impact. Before I let you go, I have to take a moment to thank the friends and partners of Growing Faith. You helped to make this podcast possible. As always, here's what we're praying, is that our lives would be so filled that it spills over into the lives of others. You have been listening to Your Life Beyond You.